I saw a story, Bisol Yankov, almost what we were learning. Dain Fisher, Bisol Yankov Fisher, the Av Bezdin of Yishalayim HaKodesh. He was Nifta, I remember, just a few months after we got married. So he was Nifta in Tovshin Samach Beis, I believe. Tovshin Chalav Samach Beis. So in 2002, approximately. So he was Drov of Yerushalayim. Bisol Yankov Fisher, he was Rav also of Zichron Moshe. You know the Shul Zichron Moshe, which is known as the Minyan Factory, which is pretty much close to 24 hours a day. There's Minyanim there. He got no, it's not that one. It's the older one. It's Zichron Moshe. It's pretty much literally. He goes from Shachis to Mincha, from Mincha to Ma'ar, from Ma'ar to Shachis. Pretty much. It's very really. I mean, very short gaps in between, if there are gaps. I mean, something. It's very, and it's 3-4 Minyanim simultaneously. It's very, very Zichron Moshe. So he was also the Rav of Zichron Moshe. Now what happened was also there's like old timers, Yerushalmi's there, and like it's like a kind of like a proper Yerushalmi's. They haven't, they're like 7 generations Yerushalayim, and they never stepped out of Yerushalayim since they ever came. You know, 7 generations back. So it's really very much that style of Yerushalmi. So Zichron Moshe was the shul that the Mishnah Kafish was over. And at one point, there was a fellow sleeping in shul and it wasn't just sleeping in shul, but he was actually sleeping just in front of the Aron HaKodesh. It's like something you can just picture if you know the shul. It's like it could easily happen. He slept flat out in front of the Aron HaKodesh. And the Mishnah Kafish was the ruler of that place, insisted nobody should wake him up. Never should wake him, he's sleeping, let him sleep, you know. He's sleeping, what's wrong with that? Until somebody had the Hotzach Nafsa, it was in the morning, I don't know if it was Monday, Thursday, or Shabbos, I'm not sure. And he wanted to, so it was like a gesture to him that he should be really careful as he goes up to the, he was sleeping on the floor in front of the HaKodesh. So he was gesturing to him that, you know, make sure not to, typically, make sure not to wake him up. The Yerushalmi is lying flat on the floor, like, right through Shachis, and I've taken the Sefer Torah out now, and just make sure not to wake him up. So, and the guy said, you know, as we say in good English, yes, gvul, you know what I'm saying, it's like a limit, you know, he's, what I want to do is take the Sefer Torah out. And he wasn't that careful, and he woke him up. And the Yerushalmi Fisher, who was the one, was standing right on the side, made him like an angry comment. Can't you be careful? I don't exactly what the words are, but that kind of thing, like, can't you be careful? He's, you know, like, he's sleeping. Why are you waking him up? And he kind of, like, made a bit of a gesture, and it wasn't sure it was in public. And he looks like, it sounded like a fish, despite that he was very calm, natured, very idle. It sounded like a fish was very, very idle. But he made some sort of comment. I don't know how loud it was, but obviously he was Shachis, I mean, no, there was people around. The next, this was just, I don't know if this was during El, or just before Rosh Hashanah, the next Rosh Hashanah, and Mishnah Kefisha, he clapped out in shul, and he said, Abosai, I just want to, I think it was, maybe it was Yom Kippur, the Kolnit HaDosh, I'm not sure, but it was definitely during Yom Neroim. This was the Rav of the shul, and furthermore, the Rosh Av Bezdin of Yerushalayim HaKodesh. He bangs, said, Abosai, I think I want to ask publicly for Mechila. I commented on somebody's behavior in shul, that he wasn't being careful, and I want to publicly ask Mechila. Said Shulchan Aruch, if somebody does a chet in public, he should ask Mechila in public. Hence, I did this chet in public. I embarrassed somebody. I did something in, so I want to ask for Mechila in public. And I'm asking this individual for Mechila. Goes without saying, the person was there, and he said it's not a problem at all. Of course, you know, it was. But I just want to point out how literally this, how far this goes. I was very impressed by seeing this story. Yeah, Ibsen like a fish is brought down in his safe on in his grandson wrote a safe on Hilchas Ebenis Halochas safe on Hilchas Yom Kippurim. It's brought down. Okay, Rabbi said, we continue. Simon, what do you think about it? So it's Ibsen like a fish. That's yeah. Simon Tov Reish Ches. I don't know. I can only picture myself. You know, what would you do if you see a person sleeping in front of line? What would you do? You know.
Most people would gently turn.
Yeah, perhaps gently, perhaps not so gently. Yeah. Okay, fine. See, Gimel Rabbeisai, we've discussed yesterday Halachas Amutav Sheshoikin, Hametz Techocha. All right. Okay, we discussed that. Today we're going to be looking a little bit at the, going back to the discussion of Sudam of Sekes. And here it is, Rabbeisai, here it is. Siv Gimel. Himiv Sigma Chilosa Beodim Yigodl. Okay, this is now, okay, somebody ate early. When do you eat Sudam of Sekes? You go for early, you go for late? Early? Quite. Yeah, you want to just make sure you don't have to rush. Okay, sometimes it ends up being a little bit too early, perhaps. And this is exactly what happens in this case. What happens if you have eaten earlier and now you want to have a dessert? You benched already, yeah? You ate your first course, second course, third course. You went through your... And you had your grapes, and you had your melon, and you had your wealth works. You had your... you name it. And you went through three bottles of... And you benched. Okay, now, comes 10 minutes later. Actually, why not a bit more? Why not? But now the question is, you benched already. You benched already. That's the Suda HaMafsekes. Mafsekes literally means
the breaking off,
the discontinuing meal. The meal that is the hafsoka, that stop. So can you, after having benched from that Sa'uda, are you allowed... Or are you not allowed to carry on eating? We had this discussion a little bit with regards to... We had the same kind of question. Tisha B'Av, very similar. So here this is regards to Yom Kippur, though, Ev Yom Kippur. What happens in such a case? Would you be allowed to carry on eating or re-eat? Should we call it re-eat?
Because there's a limitation to how many foods you can have because of the...
Right.
Whereas this is...
This is plain. Says Shulchan Aruch, "Emifsik me'achilos ebodiyam gadol." You discontinue. You finished eating. Be'oid hayoyim gadol, when the day is still long. Yochol, you may lachzo belechol. You may go back and have a little bit more. Kolzman shelo kibbel avatayness, as long as you have not accepted the fast on yourself. Yep, kamashman on the Shulchan Aruch, that you still require Kabbalah. The benching itself is not a hafsok, is not a pure Kabbalah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here, that you not actually have fully been makabel Yom Kippur by just benching.
Even though I thought,
you're going to your point, you've got a new base, which is second wide line. Some disagree with this statement, which is actually the Morgan Avraham, in the name of the Maril. There are disagreeing opinions, that's what Rabbi Frankel is pointing out. You know, in other words, the possession mafsik have a kilu kibbeh, because by benching, and stopping to eat, it's as if you've been mekabel Yom Tov. That's it now. You finished eating, so, you know, finish is finished. Finished is finished. So, you can't eat after. So, some hold like that. But the Shulchan Aruch says, it's not a problem, you can continue eating. The Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah brings, others that hold that it is a problem. So therefore, what's the right thing to do? Lochein, it is proper, says Mishnah Berurah. Shekodin v'yekas hamozoin, before you actually bench, what should you do? Yeah, so what you should do is, you should say explicitly, I am not accepting the Tanis. I'm not accepting the fast day. If you don't want to state it, you want to be too formal about this, at the very least, you should think in your heart, you're not accepting the fast. So ideally, you state verbally, this is not, I'm benching, but I might still want to eat later, ideally. You can't just think in your heart, and that's good enough. Poskim discuss what happens if you normally make that statement, and normally after the meal you have another cup of water, and normally you say it, but this time you just forgot. This time you benched and you didn't say anything. And suddenly after benching, you realize, ooh, actually, nice cup of water would be good now. Psh, nice, because suddenly you're all thirsty. But you didn't say anything this time around. Can you not? Normally you say, and normally you do. Put it on. So Mishabu doesn't address it, but what would you say? Not formally. Yeah, but Mishabu says that the Chatchila, you go for the opinions that benching is good enough. That benching is considered a Kabbalah. Umdina. Yeah, so Umdina, that what?
That's what you normally do.
Yeah, exactly. So the poskim, the Rabbonim, the poskim say that if you normally do that, then it would be considered as if that's generally your practice, and therefore, even if you didn't actually say anything this time specifically, it's considered that you normally do, and that's your normal plan of action, that's your normal... So it's fine as well this time as well. You could drink after benching. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's a good kashala. He's saying that the fact that they make it nice, you shouldn't just spoil it. It's a good point. Good point. I hear. I hear.
I'm guessing that people normally are nervous. I mean, I personally, I don't enjoy the assortment because you're
tensed up.
You're always nervous about fluid. Have I got enough fluid in my system? So you want to drink water until the last.
Till the last second, yeah.
Is that
feeling? You're not enjoying it.
Yeah. There's actually a shaila about that. It's not addressed to me, but you are addressing an interesting question. You know, if you're benched and now you want to drink something, and let's say you're not thirsty, but like in line with your question, you're not particularly thirsty, but you have another 10 minutes, I don't know, and you say, you know, if I could have another cup of water or two, that might help the fast. You're not thirsty. If you're thirsty, of course you're going to make shakel nibidvoi, because you make a shakel nibidvoi if you're thirsty. But in this instance, you are not thirsty. You're not thirsty. You're only drinking in order to get enough fluid in your system, as you said. Would you make a bracha for drinking, yes or no?
Apparently, if it's just water, there's no taste, you don't make a bracha.
Well, if you're thirsty, you do. Hashoysim mayim letzmoy, the Mishnah Bracha says, if you're thirsty, you make bracha on water. Yeah, that's for sure works. Sugar, juice, anything you make a bracha on that? Absolutely. You can't see any sugar anymore. You've had enough for the day. All you want to do is to have just a cup of water. Can you make a bracha or not? Oh, you're first. You probably, yeah, okay, yeah, then it's, yeah. Yeah, but it's a good eitzah, what you're saying. Good eitzah, put sugar in, you know, I have apple juice instead. Yeah, but in such an instance, you probably don't make a bracha.
Is there a difference between drinking meat and the Gavidis tonight? Because we find in Tanis that starts in the morning, when you find a chiluk there, when you go to bed, and
yeah, here I didn't see any chilek between drinking and eating. I didn't see anything. I don't know. No, we have any chilek. Okay, now, what happens if you... okay. Now, what happens if you mekabel tanis? Okay, he said, okay, no, that's it. I want to add another 3 minutes to the Yom Kippur. I'm not going to eat anything. Does that mean that you also have to change your shoes already? Does that mean you have to already... stop the other issue which apply on Yom Kippur Sicha, Nilas Asandel, you know, or could you say, no, I've stopped eating, but I still want to have a good smear of, I really want to wear that leather shoe for another 3 minutes. That's, I'm okay with fasting, but it's those shoes. What?
Washing.
Could that work or not? How does that work? My question is, if you do Kabbalah, is that consistent, or could you just like, once you've accepted Yom Tov?
Have you been the Yom Tov, or just the Tan?
So here it is. The Mishnah Berurah holds, and the Achorikim, the Mishnah Berurah holds, that you've got to be consistent. If you're accepting the fast, if it's Yom Kippur, it's Adasof. It means all the Issuim of Yom Kippur apply. That's eating, that's drinking, that's Sicha, that's Nidus HaSandal, that's everything, the whole lot. So once you've accepted yourself, it's Yom Kippur, Kedush Yom Tov Yom Kippur, you've got to make sure that your leather shoes are gone as well. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we continue to see Talit. Is the Malach as well? Is the Malach will apply as well? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's man. I don't know if that's going to work. It could be that it's a melacha you could distinguish, but pashtus not. Pashtus, it would be considered, you've got to be mekabel all the inuim. It's part of the Yom Tov. Yeah, okay, Rabbi Sassif Dalib. Okay, what are you going to eat? Okay, baby. So you're right, on Tisha B'Av, there was halachas, rigid restrictions, what you may eat on to the month seconds. Here, the restrictions are as follows. Okay, if you're wise, you're going to eat foods which are easy to digest. If you're filling yourself up to the top, then you're going to be too full. You're going to feel too proud, said Shulchan Aruch. You're not going to daven properly. You're going to be just overeaten. Good, we're going to get to that. In ochlem dvarim hamecham esaguf. Similarly, you also don't eat foods which heat you up. Hamecham esaguf. Shelo yavoli dekeri. We don't want anybody to have chalila keri. Tumas keri. Emissions per night. V'chein. En lechol ma'achol lecholov. Similarly, also, don't have milchik, two milky foods. Shema b'mzer, increase the zera. Ach, besud shachis nagin ochlon, but in the morning that would be okay. So not too. So again, what is it? Not too much. Point number one. Point number two. Not foods which are mechamnes aguf. We're going to see some what examples are. And thirdly, not too milky. Now let's see what Mishnah Berurah gives examples over here. In Sif Katan Tizayin, Dor Macham Kun Psamim V'Karkem Zafrin. So Psamim not too spicy, not too hot. If it's too spicy, that's no good. And similarly, also Yain Toiv. Don't drink your 150-pound wine, if there's such a thing. Yeah, I'm sure there is. Don't drink it then. It's no good. So this is with regards to the mafsekes. However, but with regards to the milky foods, it would have been right to be makbid the entire day. But the meaning is to be okay with the milky foods, but in the morning, people don't makbid on that. Yeah. Now, other examples are brought down in Sifkot Yudches, that you should not eat Pesach and Mafsekes, and it's right and proper to refrain in the morning as well. What is it? Ma'achal Echolov? Chamo. What about hot? So, I'm betaz, so it's hot. What would be hot, milky?
Porridge.
Yeah, perhaps porridge.
Pizza.
Perhaps, yeah. Don't know if that's, yeah, perhaps. Yeah, these kind of things. V'adin diyesh lizoy mishum ubeitzim. You should also refrain shum, garlic, beitzim, also not too many eggs. Sheim gam kemabim zera. Now, what about one second here? What about, so we're trying to refrain milky foods the entire day? Not allowed to the mafsekes, not too much milk in the morning. So, what about your coffee, Rabbi? Say, what about your coffee? Not only you're not going to have a coffee on Yom Kippur, but now you're going to tell me as well no coffee on every Yom Kippur? Because you can't have milk, it's not going to work. It can't work. Can't work. We all agree. Can't work. So Baruch Hashem, comes the Mishabu to rescue. If you've got milk which is mixed with the food, oitei im cholov, tea with milk. Here, Rabbi Yisrael, we've got evidence that the Chofetz Chaim was British. Here it is. Who else would drink tea with milk? For any continentals, who's continental over here? Oh, I'm the only one over here. For us continentals, I don't know, South Africa, milk in a coffee. How can you kill a tea? How can you kill a tea by putting milk inside it? So here we got Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah talks about tea with milk. If you ever want to have a quiz, this is the question. How did the Chofetz Chaim drink his tea? Like the British. How do you know? Mishnah Berurah brought down and said, Kotun Ches, the name of, yeah. So that's it. I can't believe it. Mishnah Berurah had, I really can't believe it. Tea with milk. Efshe, the bottle beroiv, and it says bottle beroiv. So what I'm comparing with regards to, the more content, you know, if you want to have your coffee with milk, that's fine as well. So milk is tak an issue. Milk is not ideal to have milk. Too much milk on Erev Yom Kippur. Certainly, Sunim of Sekes, don't have anything milky. Anyway, men have flashy, but never mind that. You're not meant to have milky on Erev Yom Kippur, but the entire day also, but the teas, the coffees, the thing, it's all fine because the little bit of milk that you add, that's not a problem. It's only talking about if you have these grand porridges or anything which is primarily beikim made out of milk. Okay, also, v'lo'echal shum shum ipne shemale geiro. Shum shum is, sesame, which produce a lot of saliva. What you should also not do is you should self-induce. If you ate too much of something, and you want to self-induce what's the nice way of saying it? Jonathan, can you help me out? I can see you understood what I'm talking about. What? Irritation? Yeah, that's what it is. Okay. Okay. So if you want to, if you add too much and you say, okay, that was a bit too much, So don't put your finger in and sort it out that way. But that's what he says. Shemo yivlak tzas min hakeo. It's just better not. Okay. Now he says about drinking a lot of wine. Esudem afsekes. What's your opinion? Pure wine? No. Chosav ma'arival shelo yistanke besudem afsekes. It's good to be positive about Yom Kippur. It's good to be confident about Yom Kippur. It's good to be to have a positive outlook. You're hoping everything is going to go well, but that doesn't mean you have to start getting drunk. That's like getting the Yom Tov a bit mixed up. No, that's not a good idea. Good. Now, same page, top of page 148. I don't know what. I don't know. Oh yes, you probably referring, it might come from the. In my mind, that triggers the story. Yeah, the story of Yosef Moichel Shabbos, which the Torah says was Yom Kippur. It's not because Yom Kippur. It's Kach over here. One of the. It's the Torah brings it down. Shulchan doesn't bring it down. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay, very good, Rebecca, that's right, yeah. Simon Tov Reish Tez, I don't know the background of it though. Simon Tov Reish Tez, Atmonas Chavin Be'evim HaKippurim. So we're talking about insulating foods. Now we don't need to do that so much because But this is over here, Atmonas Chavin Be'evim HaKippurim, which is insulating foods from Erev Yom Kippur to Motz Yom Kippur. Say you want to have a hot, nice cholent on Motz Yom Kippur. Not a great idea, but if you want to have cholent, for argument's sake, cholent on Motz Yom Kippur, how would that sound? No, not so, yeah. So, and you don't want to wait heating it up and all that, you don't have patience for that. You want to go straight to Abdullah, straight from Abdullah, you zoom straight into the cholent. So now. That's right. So now, and therefore you don't want to heat it up. I'm going to insulate it properly and insulate on every Yom Kippur. It's going to last for 25 hours until Motz Yom Kippur. Says Luchanoch. Or Mutal Hatimin Chamin, maybe Yom Kippurim, then Motz Yom Kippur. You may do so. You can do that. You can insulate food from every Yom Kippur to Motz Yom Kippur. You will, yeah. Vayesh Oymun She'ein Hatimin Yom Kippurim. And the Rambam said, no. You guys forget it. No, that's not the right way of doing things. You are not insulating anything from Erev Yom Kippur to Yom Tzim Kippur, and you don't do that. V'chein aminik v'nizelu, and that is the proper minik. The reason for that is pretty much what you're referring to. Imagine somebody comes to your kitchen Yom Kippur. Wow, nice Yom Kippur challenge you're doing. Really nice. So therefore, no. No, and it's not good. Adim Shnubu says in Seif Cotton. So the reason, the rationale to allow it is, you're not doing anything wrong. The rationale to allow it is because you're doing on Erev Yom Kippur, something from Motz Yom Kippur. What should be the problem? You're doing something from weekday to weekday. Who cares that there's a Yom Kippur in between? That's the rationale to allow it. However, the Rambam disagrees. Because it appears to be Yom Kippurin, because it looks like a Yom Kippur, you're busy making a nice meal for Motz Yom Kippur. So, come on, that's not what you should be busy with. So it has an appearance and it smells of color. No, but you can cook on Motz Yom Kippur for Motz Yom Kippur. All right. So it will. Either you can have cold or you're a bit more patient. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They'll say so. Wait a bit longer. Yeah. The truth, the reality is that by the time the men come back, you know, from shul, it takes a bit of time. So. Yeah, it's a gzeira. It's a gzeira. Shenira de b'yom haKippurim is special b'tam l'tzorichoy. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. You're saying that. You're saying that. Why are we so overly concerned about the chashash?
But also, you could be doing it for heta, as I said, for children or chaylim or whatever. There is an oven of heta.
Cooking.
That this could be.
Food. Cooking.
I was cooking, you left it,
remember? Yeah, no, but the chashash is, we're concerned, you look like you're cooking on Yom Kippur. It looks like, why is it smelling so much? People normally insulating, people are not normally insulating. Somebody walks into the kitchen, he smells the challenge, oh, you look.
You're feeding your
katan. But it looks like you're cooking. It smells like you're cooking, not feeding.
I mean, they've got to eat something.
Right, they can eat cereals, yeah.
It's Yom Tov.
Does that mean that what? Why not? This is because the problem with this is because it's like a Shabbos. You can't cook. It's not like Yom Tov.
So what are you doing here?
On Yom Tov, there's a head of cooking. On Shabbos.
I'm saying you can make a challah before.
Like a regular Shabbos.
Yeah.
That you can do that.
Yeah.
And leave it for after Yom Kippur.
To do on Shabbos for afterwards, you certainly can.
No, no, no. Before Yom Kippur.
For after.
A challah, and a regular challah, crock pot, whatever.
To summarize what we learned this evening. We learned that if you finished the Sudam of Sekis, you wanted to eat or drink afterwards, in principle, in theory, in essence, you could really eat and drink afterwards. Ideally, you should verbalize, a couple of tanas. Even if you had it in your mind, it's okay as well. What you eat, so we spoke about, you shouldn't eat anything which is ma'abazah, you shouldn't eat anything which is mecham deguf. You shouldn't be overeating as well. You're going to be too proud and too satisfied, and you're going to be, it's not good either. We spoke about other few detailed food that you're meant to refrain from, such as wine, too much wine. We spoke about hatzmon as well, that Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to be matmin from Erev Yom Tov, Motzi Yom Tov. Ramot doesn't like it. Right, these are pretty much the halachos for this evening. We also spoke about what you're meant to do if you see somebody falling asleep in front of the Aron HaKodesh. Okay, good evening, Abbas.